and the glory forever. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And for my text this morning, I'm going to read just two verses from the Sermon on the Mount. I always look forward to the first Sunday of the new year. It's, I think, one of the most important. I think all days, all Lord's days are important. We shouldn't make distinctions one day from another. Our confession teaches us and the Word of God teaches us. But I think there are certain seasons, like the Advent season just passed and like the first Sunday of the new year, that are very important for us as far as our consideration of God's work in our lives as we look back in retrospect and then we look forward. It's a reminder of the passing of our life and what God has done to preserve us to this point and what He will do to bring us into His presence. And what a joy and delight to consider that. But here in these two verses, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching His disciples those kingdom priorities, I believe He sums up what should be our greatest priority of all, and it will be self-explanatory. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its trouble. Father, bless to our understanding this reading of Your infallible Word. And bless to our understanding as well, its exposition, that it would be Your Word to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you make resolutions or make lists of priorities. If you don't, you should, at least in your mind. Many of us, including myself, have a tendency to major in things that are not the main thing. It's important to prioritize. You can spend a lot of time doing things that don't accomplish very much if you're not careful. Here, Jesus establishes for us what should be at the top of our list. What should be our number one priority before anything else? He tells us what should be first. Seek first the kingdom of God. The context of His admonition is the teaching immediately prior to these verses, where Jesus is telling His disciples, those of the covenant community who had come to faith in Him, who were of the community of Israel, who have embraced Him as Messiah, and by extension, the church for all times. What should be your priority in life in contrast to the world? The Gentiles seek what they shall eat, verse 31, what they shall drink, what they should wear. That's the world. The world out there, that's all they're concerned about. We have come to a place in America where the Christian ethos that guided this nation for generations has totally faded. We have come to a place where the ethos of America is exactly what it was in the ancient Greek and Roman Empire. where the kingdom of self is the most important kingdom to the culture. And you could easily substitute American culture for Gentile, because that's what we're consumed with. I believe it's a requirement for almost every discipline of study at the university to study psychology. And if you study psychology at any level, one of the first things you're taught, or one of the principal things you're taught in that psychology 101 class, whether you have it in high school or college, is that you're taught Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's a clever little device to understand life, but the hierarchy of needs is essentially the same thing that Jesus is talking about here. That they're at the bottom of the pyramid of life and Maslow's scheme, you have these basic things that have to be taken care of. The basic bodily functions, the need for sleep, the need for food, for clothing, and these things are what drive humanity. And it's only after you meet these basic human needs that you can ascend up the pyramid to think about art and doing humanitarian deeds and so forth. Well, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes and tumps the pyramid over. He kicks it over. He said, that's the world's thinking. That's what drives the world apart from me. Your priority should not be to get your basic needs met. Your first priority should be the kingdom of God. It is the priority of the kingdom. The present imperative tense is used here. Make it your present priority. Put it down on the list now, immediately, to seek first the kingdom of God. Make it your desire. And whatever you're doing, to say, is what I am about to do or say going to advance God's kingdom? Seek actively, search it out. Whenever you come to a decision in life, the first question is not how does it meet my needs, not how does it serve me, but how does it serve the kingdom of God? Because the implication of Jesus' teaching here is that we are to do everything we do for the kingdom. We're to eat for the kingdom. We're to drink for the kingdom. We're to dress for the kingdom. Our question in all of these activities of our basic needs is, does it glorify God? Our founding fathers of our branch of Christianity, the Westminster Divines, wrote this exalted exposition of the Apostles' Creed, which we confess, called the Westminster Confession. And they elaborated on the truth of the gospel in this magnificent way. And then they thought, how can we apply that? How can we take these great truths and make them teachable and communicable to families and to people in the church in a simple way? And so they came up with a catechism of the church, the Westminster catechisms, the shorter and larger catechisms, and they are wonderful tools to teach the Christian faith. And there's no greater application of this truth than the first question of the shorter catechism. What is the chief end of man? What is the chief purpose of man? And they captured it in that eloquent answer. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the proof text they put at that, every teaching has a proof text. And the proof text that they put, one of the proof texts is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Jesus is not suggesting that we stop making these basic human needs and material things the center of life. He's not suggesting that. He's commanding it. These are not options for the Christian. Our chief purpose is not to satisfy ourselves and to build our own kingdom. Our first priority, according to the Word of God, is to seek God's glory and to build His kingdom. And before we do anything, to ask ourselves the question, does this advance the number one priority on my list of priorities as a child of God, which is to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever? And second, from this verse, in the second part of this verse 33, we see what His kingdom is based upon. There's a conjunction that ties the kingdom of God to His righteousness. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. See, the kingdom comes because of God's righteousness. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, He is teaching His disciples that they must be righteous and they must be holy. In fact, their righteousness must be such that it exceeds the righteousness of the most religious people of the day. It must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. For the average Jewish person hearing that, it was a tall order, because these were very religious people. These were very learned people in the Scriptures. How could I ever attain to that kind of standard of righteousness? Had to be the question in their minds. Jesus makes it very clear that is not their righteousness, their problem of the scribes and Pharisees. It was their own righteousness. Here He makes it very plain. It's God's righteousness that must be pursued. And God's righteousness is not produced from any kind of internal effort or external effort. It is produced solely by God's grace. But we are not passive in its pursuit. When the Holy Spirit comes on a person, it makes them willing to do what God commands. God's righteousness comes from the new life principle that's implanted in the believer when the Holy Spirit comes and gives the grace of repentance and faith. And through the whole, and the whole life is offered up to God in gratitude and service. What happens when that occurs is the third thing I want to point out from this verse. The result of setting that priority is that all things needful are added to you. Everything that you need for life is given to you. All things necessary to support life. At the bottom of Maslow's pyramid are given as a blessing and a bonus. That's how the kingdom of God works. When we prioritize Him, the things that come to us as a result are all the things we need. That's what Jesus teaches here. Our deacons do such an incredible job of benevolence work within the congregation and outside. And if you ever have a need in this church, you need to let our deacons know through me or through elder or through them directly. And they do a wonderful job. They also do benevolence in the community, and it is very, very difficult to do that. And often I will screen calls for that, and I wonder at some of the needs that come through. And often I try to share this verse. Have you ever considered that how God meets needs is to seek Him first? Because the focus is always on the emergency. I've got to pay the light bill. I've got to pay the rent. It's got to happen now. And so often we go through life like that. Jesus teaches us if we make Him and His kingdom our number one priority, then these things follow as a matter of course. Now, I know that teaching has been perverted. There are those who say that they take it and extend it to where, that means everyone should be rich. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is God will provide for your needs. And it's a promise to His people that it's exceedingly great and precious, and one that every child of God should lay to heart and hold on to. It's all through the Scriptures. One of the greatest places, the greatest illustrations that you can find this is in the book of Genesis, the end of Genesis, and the story of the life of Joseph and his brothers. You know that story well, how Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers, and he languished there in prison for many years, and how God exalted Joseph in the end to the prime minister of Egypt, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt's right-hand man. And there came to be a famine back in the promised land, up north in the promised land. There came to be a famine, and they heard that the brothers heard that there was grain in Egypt, so they go down there. And you know the story, how Joseph reunites with his brothers after hiding himself from them for a while, and then suddenly showing himself for who he is, their brother, after they had mistreated him so. He is the deliverer of his family and deliverer of the people of Israel. But over in Genesis 45, you have this incredible account how, and you get a glimpse of just how honored Joseph is in Egypt. Because the Pharaoh says to Joseph, go get your people out of Canaan, bring them back to Egypt, for all the land of Egypt is yours and is theirs. Genesis 45:20, Pharaoh says, "Have no concern for your goods, for all the land of Egypt is yours. You know, often the King James Version is better. It's better here. Because what the Pharaoh says in the King James Version is, have no regard for your stuff. Because everything is yours. We spend so much of our lives worrying about our stuff when everything is ours. Child of God, do you understand that? Your Father is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. He made you. And He has ordained every day of your life until He calls you to be with Him. And He provides for you and is providing for you forever. Why are you concerned about anything at all? And then fourth, we see in verse 34 that this understanding of God's care and provision, which extends from having Him as our first and His kingdom as our first priority, is the cure for anxiety. Another psychologist who I don't hold in very high esteem, but a blind acorn finds a nut. Blind squirrel finds an acorn. That's what it is. I'm tired. I've been rode hard and put up wet. Sigmund Freud said that anxiety is the fundamental problem of this human psychology. In other words, anxiety is man's biggest problem. Jesus gives us the answer. I believe He is onto something. Worry and fear about the future and circumstances apart from God can't help but consume people. You can't help but be consumed by worry if all you have is vested in this life and the things of this world. You're worried about your stuff and someone's going to take it away from you or get it from you, or you're fearful and you're based in fear. Jesus taught His disciples to stop. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. God will provide for you. He will provide for you every day. What will 2011 hold for us? We do not know. God does. Every new day is an opportunity to trust Him. You should write down Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Sing it, memorize it, learn it. The steadfast love of the Lord is forever. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that? Do you hold on to that? That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And when we do, we're fearless in the face of the world and the flesh and the devil, the enemies of our soul that seek to destroy us every day. God will be our strength every day. That's what he teaches us in the gospel. As we look to what God will do, as we seek to make priorities for our life for the new year, we need to ask ourselves, what does this have to do with the kingdom? In every area of life, whatever you're called to do is a kingdom task. It is. There's no place that the gospel of grace has not touched. There's no aspect of life that Jesus hasn't looked at and said, I rule over that, and I am overruling it for my glory. And the question for each of us is, how does my life reflect the priorities of the kingdom? Because God is my judge. He is examining me. He is examining every aspect of my life, my thought life, the things that go into my mind and heart, how I spend my time, where I spend it, how I spend my money, how I prioritize my life, and tells me in advance that one day I will give an account for it all to him. And he'll ask me, what did you do with me? So as we think about what new ventures, what new places we will pursue, what new calling God will call us to, as we think about what God is calling us to do as a church and our planning, as families, as individuals, in all of our business dealings, in all our personal dealings, all of our family dealings, in every aspect of our lives, we should ask the question, is the kingdom of God my priority? And whatever my calling and whatever my decision, is the kingdom my first priority? And if it is, we have such good hopes and such good promises. As you think about your life, as you think about your schedule, as you think about your time and your priorities, ask yourself that. Prayerfully pray over each one of them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus.